وجاء المعذرون من الأعراب ليؤذن لهم وقعد الذين كذبوا الله ورسوله سيصيب الذين كفروا منهم عذاب أليم.
Many of the Bedouin Arabs came with excuses, seeking leave to stay behind. Thus, those who were false to Allah and His Messenger in their covenant remained behind. A painful chastisement shall befall those of them that disbelieved. Many of the Bedouin Arabs came with excuses.
The word Al-Arab refers to the Bedouin who either lived in the desert or in the villages around Medina.
A painful chastisement shall befall those of them that disbelieved.
If a man's profession to faith is not backed by a true affirmation of the message of the Prophet, peace be upon him, submission to God, and sincerity in devotion, it is merely an act of the tongue which does not prevent him from according precedence to his material interests and worldly concerns over God and the religion of God. Such a profession of faith is no better than unbelief. Such people will, therefore, be treated by God in the hereafter as unbelievers and rebels. This is notwithstanding the fact that it might not be possible in this world to declare them unbelievers, since they verbally profess Islam, and hence Muslims will have no option but to treat them on a social and legal level as Muslims. This is because in the life of this world, people can be declared unbelievers only when they are guilty of open denial, rebellion, treachery, or infidelity. Hence, it is difficult to judge all hypocrites from a legal point of view as unbelievers. But escaping the judgment of human beings in this world does not guarantee man's escape from God's judgment and punishment in the next world.
ليس على الضعفاء ولا على المرضى ولا على الذين لا يجدون ما ينفقون حرج إذا نصحوا لله ورسوله ما على المحسنين من سبيل والله غفور رحيم.
There is no blame on the weak nor the sick nor on those who have no means for jihad if they stay behind, provided that they are sincere to Allah and to His Messenger. There is no cause for reproach against those who do good.
Allah is all forgiving, ever merciful. If they stay behind, provided that they are sincere to Allah and to His Messenger.
This makes it clear that even those who are otherwise apparently exempt from jihad are in fact not automatically so on grounds of physical disability, sickness, or indigence. They're exempt only when these disabilities are combined with their true loyalty to God and His Messenger. If someone lacks this loyalty, he cannot be pardoned for the simple reason that when it became obligatory for him to wage jihad, he was sick or indigent. God does not look at such external criteria for exemption from duty. For God can examine what is at the bottom of each man's heart. He can examine both inner and outer conditions and test whether one's excuse is that of a loyal servant or of a rebel and traitor. If several persons happen to fall sick on the eve of jihad, it will hardly be possible for a human being to distinguish the sickness of one from that of the other. But God knows well that each case is different from the other. For instance, there will be those who, if they fall sick on the eve of jihad, will thank the heavens for their sickness, since it has provided them with a timely excuse to stay away from the war front. There will be others who react quite differently. They will probably lament their sickness, which has prevented them from doing their duty and from having the honor of taking part in jihad. Whereas the people of the former category will not be content with securing an exemption for themselves from fighting, but will probably also try to dissuade others from jihad. There will be others who, even though they themselves are unable to take part in jihad for reasons beyond their control, will urge others to hasten to the war front. Likewise, while people belonging to the first category will spread all kinds of rumors in order to demoralize the believers, The people of the latter category will try to compensate for their inability by reinforcing the home front and thus at least make some contribution to the cause of jihad. Though people of both categories fail to join jihad, God will judge them differently in view of their different attitudes. God might pardon the latter, but the former must be convicted for treachery and disloyalty, even though both could present a justifiable excuse for not engaging in jihad.
وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ.
Nor can there be any cause for reproach against those who, when they came to you demanding mounts to go to the battlefront, but who went back, their eyes overflowing with tears when you told them that you had no mounts for them, grieving that they had no resources to enable them to take part in fighting.
Grieving that they had no resources to enable them to take part in fighting.
Those who had a sincere desire to serve Islam but could not do so owing to some genuine reason feel as grief-stricken as a worldly person does when he has been afflicted of misfortune, such as when he loses his job or narrowly misses a treasure. Such persons would be deserving of the same reward from God as those who actually did serve the cause of Islam. For even though they might not have been able physically to contribute to the struggle in the way of God, their hearts were there. This explains why the Prophet, peace be upon him, whilst returning from Tabuk, told the companions, "You have never undertaken a march nor crossed a valley, but that some people who are actually in Medina were with you." In utter surprise, they asked, "Did they do so while they were staying in Medina itself?" The Prophet, peace be upon him, affirmed, "Yes, they did so even while staying in Medina, for they had been forced by circumstances into staying back, or else they would have never stayed back."
إنما السبيل على الذين يستأذنونك وهم أغنياء رضوا بأن يكونوا مع الخوالف وطبع الله على قلوبهم فهم لا يعلمون.
There are grounds for reproach against those who seek leave to stay behind, even though they are affluent. They are the ones who were content to be with the womenfolk who stay behind. Allah has set a seal on their hearts, leaving them bereft of understanding.
يعتذرون إليكم إذا رجعتم إليهم قل لا تعتذروا لن نؤمن لكم قد نبأنا الله من أخباركم وسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
They will put up excuses before you when you return to them. Tell them, "Make no excuses. We will not believe you. Allah has already informed us of the truth about you. Allah will observe your conduct, and so will His Messenger. Then he will be brought back to him who knows alike what lies beyond human perception and what lies within the reach of human perception. And he will let you know what you did."
سَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ إِذَا انْقَلَبْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لِتُعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ فَأَعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ رِجْسٌ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ.
When you return to them, they will surely swear to you in the name of Allah that you may leave them alone. So do leave them alone. They are unclean. Hell shall be their home, a recompense for what they did.
That you may leave them alone. So do leave them alone.
Two different verbal forms of the same word, irad, have been used in this verse. In the first instance, it denotes to turn away in the sense of being indulgent. In the second instance, it means to turn away in disgust. The word has been used in an imperative form and contains the injunction to sever all connections with those persons.
يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ لِتَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِن تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ
They will swear to you in order to please you. But even if you become pleased with them, Allah will not be pleased with such an evil-doing folk.
الأعراب أشد كفرا ونفاقا وأجدر ألا يعلموا حدود ما أنزل الله على رسوله والله عليم حكيم
The Bedouin Arabs surpass all in unbelief and hypocrisy, and are most likely to be unaware of the limits prescribed by Allah in what He has revealed to His Messenger. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise.
The word Al-Arab, as we have explained earlier, see note 90 above, signifies the Bedouin, whether of the desert or the countryside, in the vicinity of Medina. For a long time, they had followed a policy of opportunism with regard to the conflict between Islam and unbelief. However, as Islam established its sway over the greater part of Hijaz and Najd, and the power of the tribes hostile to Islam began to weaken, they saw their interest lay in entering the fold of Islam. Of them, only a minority embraced Islam out of true conviction and with the readiness to fulfill its demands. For a majority of these Bedouin, acceptance of Islam was the outcome of sheer expediency and self-interest, sincere belief playing scarcely any part in it. They were primarily interested in the advantages that accrued to those belonging to the ruling party, but they were intensely resentful of practically everything relating to Islam. They were resentful of the moral discipline which Islam imposed on them. They were unhappy with the duty placed upon them to observe fasting. They were unhappy at the imposition of zakah on their cattle and agricultural produce. They were also disconcerted by the tight grip imposed by the many regulations which they were required to follow for the first time in their history. They also resented the idea of sacrificing their lives and property, not in connection with tribal feuding or razias, which were close to their hearts, but in the way of God. Thus, a deep sense of dissatisfaction continued to smolder in the Bedouins' hearts, and a great number of them invented ever new excuses to circumvent the requirements of Islam. They were a cynical lot who cared nothing for right and wrong or for the true welfare of humanity. Theirs was a small world, confined essentially to their economic interests, their conveniences and privileges, their lands and properties, their camels and goats, and the very limited world around their tents. If they did believe in anything higher, it was a kind of superstitious reverence for saints and holy men to whom they made offerings. In return for those offerings, they were supposed to guarantee them material prosperity and immunity from natural calamities. They were also expected to provide them with amulets and pray for their worldly success. Such was their outlook, and they could not subscribe to a faith that would seek to subject their entire cultural, social, and economic life to a rigorous moral and legal discipline, and which would also ask them to sacrifice their lives and wealth in order to promote its universal reform mission. In the above verse, the Quran refers to this attitude of the Bedouin who, compared with town dwellers, were relatively more prone to hypocrisy and unbelief. Town dwellers fare better since they have the opportunity to meet learned and pious people and thus gain some knowledge of religion and its requirements. The Bedouin, however, tend to engross themselves in the pursuit of their bread and butter alone, leaving them no leisure time for higher pursuits. At the end of the day, they are no more than economic brutes, and as such are ignorant. In this context, it may be added that movements towards apostasy and the refusal to pay zakah, which broke out only a couple of years after the revelation of these verses, during Abu Bakr's caliphate, were mainly the result of the Bedouin's attitude.
وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ مَغْرَمًا وَيَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمُ الدَّوَائِرَ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوْءِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
And among the Bedouin Arabs, there are such as regard whatever they spend in the cause of Allah as a fine and wait for some misfortune to befall you. May ill fortune befall them. Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. There are such as regard whatever they spend in the way of Allah as a fine.
Essentially, the Bedouin looked upon zakah as a kind of fine or penalty imposed upon them. Likewise, they also resented the Islamic duty of showing hospitality to strangers. The same was true of the financial contributions they were required to make in connection with jihad. They made those contributions reluctantly and only with the idea of assuring the Muslims of their faithfulness rather than to please God.
وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَيَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ قُرُبَاتٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَصَلَوَاتِ الرَّسُولِ أَلَا إِنَّهَا قُرْبَةٌ لَهُمْ سَيُدْخِلُهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ إن الله غفور رحيم.
And of the Bedouin Arabs are those who believe in Allah and the Last Day, and regard their spending in the cause of Allah as a means of drawing them near to Allah and of deserving the prayers of the Messenger. Indeed, this shall be a means of drawing near to Allah. Allah will surely admit them to His mercy. Allah is all-forgiving, ever merciful.